I love the presence of God, and that song, it just took me back when I first got saved. I'm sorry, brother, I move a lot. When I first got saved, the gentleman that led me to the Lord, he asked me if I want to say a prayer, and I said, okay. I said the prayer, and I sensed the Holy Spirit. All I knew was I wanted to cry. And he goes, let me share some more scriptures with you. And I said, no, get away. I got to go. And he said, no, let me say. I said, I got to go. And I pushed him out of the way, kind of mean. But I went up, and as I was walking, I was weeping. And what came to me was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord. I didn't even know those words, but it came floating up out of my spirit. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that song just reminded me. Zeal, thank you so much for that song. Oh, praise God. I don't know if I should tell you to sit down. Go ahead and sit down. I really don't know how you do things around here, man, but I praise God. I see y'all standing up. And I really, Donna, Gary, I really, really appreciate you trusting me to be. It's an honor to speak here at PFC. And I was introduced to Gary and Donna by my son. He had been, I guess Gary had heard Jonathan play someplace that they were having some services in Tucson, and so they asked very nicely if they could use Jonathan in where Gary was going. So I, as a dad, he was a high school student at the time, and I said, yeah, that's fine. That's okay. We'll check with our pastor, and we checked with our pastor. He said, as long as he's here on Sunday, and that way, he said, as long as he's back on Sunday, it's okay. And so, all right. And so Jonathan was flying around with Gary, and I, you know, he's a young man still in high school, just getting out of high school, but at the time he was in high school and flying around with Gary and Donna and going to different places, and I'd never been that many places. But anyway, he was getting close to graduation, and I got home, and Jonathan was in his back room. He was worshiping God with his keyboard, and I asked my wife, has he done his homework? You know, Dad, come on, Dad. Has he done his homework? And she goes, I don't know. When I got home, that's what he was doing. I said, oh, boy. So I went back to his room, and I banged on his door. Jonathan. And banged again, Jonathan. And finally, he opened the door, and he's weeping. And he goes, come on in, Dad. God's in here. I said, ooh, you go ahead, son. I better leave you alone. Forget your homework. Just go ahead. Just do what you're doing. And when he came out, I asked him, I said, Jonathan, what did the Lord say to you? Because I know in the presence of God, God's going to speak to you. How many say amen? That's why it's so important that we get into God's word, get into his presence. And I said, John, what did the Lord say to you? And he goes, I don't want to tell you, Dad. I said, what do you mean you don't want to tell me? What did he tell you? And he goes, he said he's taking me to Hollywood. And I said, Hollywood? And he goes, that right there. That's what I meant, Dad. That's why I didn't want to tell you. That right there. That what you said. And I said, Hollywood? And I realized what I said. I said, you know what? If that's what he said, son, hey, who am I? We belong to the Lord. Can you say amen to that? It wasn't too long later. I mean, he graduated from school, praise God. And wasn't that Pastor Gary called me up. And he said, hey, Henry, I've got something to ask you. And he goes, we want to see if Jonathan can come with us to California because God called us. And I, while I was talking to him, I said, okay, let me guess where. And he goes, okay. I said, Hollywood. And Pastor Gary goes, how did you know? I said, well, wasn't because I'm a man of God, like I think I am. What it is was because he told me, God said Hollywood. That's wow. So I said, yeah, Gary, that's fine. So I guess they came up and they were having services in, I guess it was the Hanna-Barbera? Is that what it was? Hanna-Barbera. And we had, at this point, he had been spending time with Gary and Donna, going to services, and I had never heard Gary preach. Never heard him. And so we're driving from Arizona because we're going to go for the first time to the church. And on our way over there, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, help me to understand what's going on with the way you're doing, what you're doing with my son and with Gary and the whole ministry. I said, I just need help. And there used to be a commercial in on TV in Arizona and Tucson. And so I guess, who wants to know what's on Tucson? But anyway, it was a racetrack over in the corner in Tucson on the east side. And it was called Tucson Raceway Park, TRP. And they had a commercial on TV. And the commercial said, we'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. And when I had asked the Lord to help me, it's like the Lord brought that to me. He said, oh, you're going to be sitting, but you're only going to need the edge. So when we got in, they had worship, and when Pastor Gary got up, I had my little notepad. Anybody bring notepads? No? Okay, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I had my little notepad, and when Pastor Gary began to speak, I could not believe what I was hearing. It was flowing like a river. And I'm what? And I'm trying, oh my God, wait, slow down. I'm trying to get him. And one of the young ladies in the church, she saw me, I guess, trying to, she comes over and she goes, Mr. Ayala, don't worry, we record these. Oh, praise God. And I was able to sit back. And I realized at that moment that God had placed my son in a ministry that was going to touch the world, because this ministry is like no other. How many know that? Oh, I'm sure there's others being raised up by the Lord, but this one is the first one I saw of its kind. And since that time, God's called me to be a pastor. Can you believe it? Yeah, not me, but anyway, I really do appreciate you too. To release a teenage son to a family, it took a lot of prayer for us. Because who are you going to turn your kid loose to, you know? But God gave us such a peace about you two. Such a peace that we said, God, he's yours. We know you'll watch over him. And I guess you've done okay with him. Yeah, I guess, I got to spank him. Yeah. And if you guys ever feel the need, now, you don't have to call me. Every now and then, we feel that need. Yeah, every Monday and Wednesday. Praise God. Well, it's a delight. And Pastor Gary, just give him a big hug for me. I better get to the word that God has given me for the house. And you know, it's... I know a lot of folks don't carry their Bibles anymore, but if you got your phone, if you follow with me in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 26, it's the whole chapter. You go, what? I love God's, how many love God's word? Everybody does, yeah? So I do really believe that God has got something for us. I know that with everything going on today, that the elections and all those things, and I'm not political at all in the house, that I never speak on politics, but this message today has a little bit of a flavor to it that God has been speaking to me about, and I believe that God is wanting me to share it this morning, because it came upon me so strongly just as I was reading. So Acts chapter 3, if you got your phone, do your phone, get your app out, and follow along with me. I'm reading in the King James this morning. It's my favorite version. I use them all. But I love the King James version. For what reason? I do not know, but I love it. Praise God. So Acts chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, "Now Peter and John went up together from into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold, praise God, I have none. But such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Praise God. I'll stop there just for a minute, man. I'm a jumper. I like when I'm worshiping, for whatever reason, I love jumping. I remember where I used to get to, I was at the point where everybody, there were some folks jumping around me, and I wanted to do it, but I just kept going like this. Hey, praise God. And I wouldn't leave the ground. And the Lord told me, jump. If you're going to jump for me, jump. Ooh, when I heard that, oh, I jumped. And I've been a jumper ever since. But I'm a leaper. Is that right? Do you know the Hebrew word for leap is pizzazz? Isn't that a good word? Pizzazz, yeah. You know, can I tell you, when I look around sometimes in the church, I think the church has lost its pizzazz. You know what I mean? I was at a baseball game. It was the Cardinals against the Dodgers. And those people got pizzazz. I couldn't believe all the stuff going on in there. But I believe God's restoring the pizzazz to the church. I believe the leapers are going to begin to start, because we're going to leap ahead in bounds and steps. We're going to leap into the things of God. Can you say amen to that? Every jump, every time you get 2 feet off the ground. Did I tell you that I can get 2 feet off the ground? That's a pretty high jump. And I know, it's just this. That's 2 feet off the ground. That's all that is. 2 feet off the ground. I believe that God is calling us to bring back the pizzazz into the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? I mean, I know it's probably not going on here. You guys are all pizzazzed. But God is saying, hey, I am worthy to be worshipped out in the middle of Kmart, Walmart, whatever it is, in the middle of a parking lot where nobody's around or everybody's around. I am worth, and I certainly agree with that. And the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that he, which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Praise God. Getting on them a little bit. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Praise God. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until times of restitution of all things, and which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things wheresoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and all those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all thy kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad Jesus came to turn all of us away from our iniquities? Aren't you glad about that? That's something to rejoice about. But here in this, he's telling them that you guys are the ones, and your rulers are the ones that killed him. You put him to death. But God knew. You didn't know what you're doing. How many of you don't know what you're doing? Can I tell you, can I just say this, folks? Most of the time, we don't know what we're doing. Is that right? We've got no idea what's going on around us. Is that okay? It's okay because you can trust God with all those things going on around us. We don't know those things until they get right into our face, right up in front. But really, our lives are really, they're watched over by the Lord. As much as we might think we're running it, we're not running it. It's crazy. So I want to take you to a few verses and just give you a look at these verses and verses 19 through 21, I guess, where he says this: Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Being in God's presence this morning, isn't it refreshing? It is a refreshing thing, but that's not really the refreshing he's talking about. I'm going to take you to Isaiah chapter 28. I'm going to say this because I think that a lot of churches, a lot of houses of worship are beginning to push away from some things that God has, some basic things that God has said. In Isaiah chapter 28, starting at verse 9, he says, Whom shall he teach knowledge? Who's he going to teach knowledge to? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And then he says, For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, This is the rest, that you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. I would say to you this morning, and I really sense the Lord saying that do not give up. Do not let church people or churches or whatever, do not allow them to talk you out of the gift that God has given you, which is called speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. Hold on to that because it is that thing, just like it says, whom shall he teach knowledge? It is the connection that God uses to teach you. Do you know how personal it is to speak in the Spirit to the Lord between you and him? It's just you and him. Actually, it's him speaking. Can you say amen? He has. I was asking a brother today, what language did God say, let there be light in? Was it in English? Yeah. Was it in French? Was it in German? It was in a heavenly language. It was in the language of the heavenlies. And this is what the gift that God has given to each and one of the believers, no matter who you are, if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you received him, that gift is in you, even though it might be buried up. Because there have been churches, there have been men of God that have actually said if you're not speaking in the Spirit, it's okay. But I'm here to tell you today that God is saying, no, I need you to pray in the Spirit. I need you to be led by my Spirit so that you would see the things that I'm trying to speak to you in. Can you say amen to that? You pray in the Spirit, and then you pray with your understanding. God begins to reveal to you the things that he's speaking to you by you praying in the Spirit, because it's not you praying. Can you say amen to that?
The creativity that God used at the beginning to start all this thing is the same creativity that you can be using to speak over your life, over your children's life, over your parents' lives, over those that are around you. That creativity is within you that creates the avenues that takes us into those places that we need to be. Do you understand? Is that okay? Ooh, come on, man. It is something that God is saying, I need you to know this. I need you not to release it. Don't let anybody talk you out of this. Don't let anybody or anything. The world will say it's foolishness. There's some churches that I know that have told me it's foolishness. I said, yeah, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I'd rather be used the foolishness of God. See, I've never thought that I would be a pastor in the church. I never believed. I mean, when I left the church I was in, the Lord had told me to, the Lord said, okay, it's time to leave this place. I believe that if you're going to leave a place, you better leave. The Lord needs to lead you. The Bible says that we are to be led by the Spirit. So he said, Henry, I'm going to send you out. I want you to go to this church. And I went over there. But when I left, the pastor of the church that I was in asked me, he said, Henry, just make me a promise that you won't start another work in this city for 2 years. I said, who, me? Me? Start a work? Ain't no way I'm going to do it. I don't know how to do that kind of stuff. I don't know. No way. It was actually right at 2 years when the Lord spoke to our hearts and said, you are pastors, you're not miners. I was working in the mines. He said, you're not a miner, you're a pastor. And I can't bless what you're pretending to be. So we decided to start a church in Green Valley, in Sabadita. And I was telling the folks one afternoon, one morning in service, and I said, I never prayed to be a pastor, and I never did. I don't know anybody would be crazy enough to do this. And I said, I shouldn't say that, huh? Praise God. Sorry out there. But I told the congregation, I never prayed. I never asked to do this. And as we were driving home, Rosie was driving. I was falling asleep, and I fell asleep. And I woke up speaking in tongues. And I looked at Rosie, and I said, how long have I been speaking? She goes, oh, you just started. I said, okay, cool, whatever. Nice. I don't know what's going on. But then the Holy Spirit said something to me. He says, oh, Henry, you asked for it. You just didn't know you were asking. This is called praying in the Spirit. I go, oh, God, you set me up. Man, you know, God, you made me pray that, didn't you? But folks, this is how God operates. He pours through you. And those things that are going on around you become in line with what he's doing because he's pouring through you. Can you say amen to that? It doesn't matter what feels good and what don't feel good. That doesn't matter at all. What matters is the Spirit of God working in your life. Can you say amen to that? Praise God. And I'm going to go back to Acts, because Acts chapter 3. Oh. Verse 19 says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. We just discussed the refreshing. It's praying in the Spirit. And then he says, he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached to you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution, or that word can be restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And this is the scripture that God began to really talk to me about. It says that Jesus, heaven must receive Jesus. So when we say we have Jesus in our heart, he's not in our heart. The Holy Spirit is in our heart. It's the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And that's something, but Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, right next to Hebrews chapter 10 says that he after he had by himself, once and for all, purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then it says this, waiting until our enemies his enemies be made his footstool. He's going to stay on that place. He's not coming back till his enemies are made his footstool. So, well, how's that going to happen? It's by the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. Can you say amen? It is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. See, we might think we're not supposed to be active in maybe in government, but we are. Can you say amen? Because I'm going to take you to scripture that tells us a little bit about government. Do you know government? The word government appears only five times in scripture. 3 times in the Old Testament, 2 times in the New Testament. 1 time in the New Testament is talking about how those people that are mocking God, how they despise governments. That's one of the governments that's in there. Then there's another one in there. And we're going to discuss that just for a minute. But what I want you to see is what it says in Isaiah chapter 9. Oh. I hope you're hearing some of these things. I hope maybe sometimes you might be taking down some notes or maybe you'll listen to this again, because I do believe that God is saying something here. Here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 9, starting at I want to read 5, but I'm going to read 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born." How many of you know that scripture? Unto us, this is a Christmas scripture, huh? "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Unto us a child is born. His name will be called Wonderful. How many know God's wonderful? How many know he's your counselor? I mean, you can go to him anytime and say, "God, what do I do? What do I need to do?" I would say that he would rather you go to him than go to any other counselor. Is that okay? I would tell you that because we need the wisdom of God in our lives, and it is by the Holy Spirit that he brings us things. So he says he makes him the wonderful to us. He makes us a counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He is a Prince of Peace. But before all of that, he says the government shall be upon his shoulder. There was a long time ago when I used to look at scriptures that said, you know, there was one scripture that said that when Jesus at his appearing will judge the righteous. And when I'd look at that scripture, I would always put it in the future at his appearing. And the Holy Spirit said to me one night while I was praying, he said, "Henry, I'm gonna remove a filter from you." How many of you know? I said, "I got a filter? What am I filtering?" I mean, you know, how many of you know we all have filters? We all grew up in different places, different ways, and we all have these filters that actually, when we hear God's word, sometimes those filters will come into play, and you'll say, "Well, I wasn't taught that way," or whatever. But see, God wants to remove those filters so you can feel that, you can sense the word of God and the truth of the word of God coming into your heart, flowing in. And so he said, "Henry, remove this filter from you." I said, "Okay, what's the filter?" He said, "Every time you see something that talks about Jesus coming, you always put it to the future. It's right now. Jesus is right now. We are, I mean, we have a churches, I mean, some churches have done a real good job of putting everything in the future. Well, when I get to heaven, yeah, whatever. No, but he's talking about now. The Bible says, it says the wages of sin is death. Is that right? But the gift of God, it's eternal life. When? Right now. You're in eternal life. You are taking in eternal life. Every time the word of God opens up to you and you take it in, you are receiving eternal life. Can you say amen to that? That's a good thing. I need eternal life. There's a day coming where mortality is going to be put away. Can you say amen? Woo! Amazing. And this filter I had said that it's going to be put in the future. Well, this, what God is saying, even right now, the government is upon his shoulder. I used to think that it's, well, when Jesus gets here, he's going to change the government. What he's saying is the government of the kingdom is here. Can you say it? And folks, it is called to overwhelm and overtake all other governments. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that the zeal, the zeal of the Lord is going to do this. I'm going to read this scripture that comes on right before this. It says, every battle of the warrior, this is Isaiah 9:5, every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. That is the Holy Ghost, folks. He is the purifier of the body of Christ. And this, and when he comes in and you begin to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit, allowing God to speak through you, all of a sudden, things start becoming, there's a purity that begins to happen to you. Can you say amen to that? How many know we need purity today? Purity, because the Bible said the pure in heart is going to see God. I want to see God. I want to know what he's saying. I want to know what he's doing. And when he talks to me about government, not politics, folks, it's a whole different story. It is government. How to govern. He's going to use the people of God for that. It's not just him coming and sitting on the throne right now. Oh, that's going to happen. But he's on our hearts. And he's calling men and women into government. Men and women that will listen to the Spirit of God and do what God's... This is what I want you to put in. Let's just say, Donna, you're Senator of California. Sorry, Donna. This is what I want you to place this in as a, what do they call it? We want a statute that California is going to follow. I want you to put this in. It might seem like there's no way it's going to happen. Too many people against it. But folks, we got to understand that there is at our call a host of heaven that says, I will do this. You do what God tells you to do, you watch what happens. Because God is interested in governing. Can you say amen? The government will be on his shoulders. And then it says this, the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Talking about here on the planet. Can you say amen? I mean, that government is already going on in heaven. That's why you guys are that's why we're using those ropes. That's why we're pulling on heaven, amen? We're pulling on heaven because it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The government that's in heaven is being pulled on for us, by us, and it stretches right into our places where we are at. God's calling men and women to government. Another place, those are the two places in Isaiah 9 that talks about government. This is Isaiah 22 where it talks about government. And it says this, I'm going to start at verse 20. It says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem under the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. Who's the key? Jesus. And he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. This is really, really a cool verse because I go, it says that it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, and Eliakim the son of Hilkiah. And I thought to myself, who's that? Is that a king? It wasn't even a king, folks. So it's not important about the position, but this is what. The name Eliakim means God will establish and God will rise up. See, God is rising up to turn governments all across this globe into the kingdom. This is the desire of God. Can you see God placing man on the earth? He says, take dominion over it. This is what he's doing. He says, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Eliakim is God will establish, God will rise up. Hilkiah means God is my portion. Portion for what? For everything I do. What do you do? Can you imagine a lawmaker, a person of government today making laws, because he says the Lord is my portion. this is what he's told me to do. This is what I'll do. And he will back. Can I tell you that God is for us and not against us? He's always been for us. These things that God is bringing, he told me to remind you. This will be probably the last scripture. It's Corinthians 12, verse 28. Corinthians 12 is it's a chapter that talks about the gifts. And in Corinthians 12, verse 28 says this. Starting at verse 27, it says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Look at each other and say, "You're the body of Christ." Yeah, say, "You are the body of Christ. You're members in particular." And then it says this, verse 28, "God has set some in the church, first apostles, prophets, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps," and then he says, "governments." You see, government is a gift. Knowing how to govern. And see, we always think that, well, the government's going to take, no, the government, who cares about what the government's going to do now? Let's talk about the kingdom of God government. God will take care of his people. He'll use that government to bless his people. Can you say amen to that? God is not interested in the governments of this world, other than the fact that he's going to change them into the government of the kingdom, because it says the zeal of the Lord will perform this. It's coming, folks. It's happening. God is bringing the government of God into the earth like we've never seen it before, and it's going to begin to pop up in places where you never thought it would. Because God says, this is my purpose that I purposed in the whole earth. It's going to happen. He gave it to us. The planet belongs to us. And the planet and everything, creation, is waiting for the manifestations of the sons and daughters of God. Can you say amen to that? This is what God is trying to do. So it's important that we take on what God is saying. I'll tell you, I don't want to be a government official. Not me. But some of you out there, he might have a plan for that. It's just like when he told me, he said, oh, you prayed for it. You just didn't know you were praying for it. Be willing to open your mouth and pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and allow God to do what he wants to do. Do you understand that you don't belong to yourself? You're not your own. You're a new creature in Christ. The things that are within you are placed there by God, and God's going to take his purpose and bring it out within you so that the whole world can see how great of a God he is. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Can you stand up and let me pray for you? Praise God. I'm not sure how to end this, but Anton, good. Anton's going to come up, but I want to pray over you. If you do pray in the Spirit, man, keep going. Times are refreshing. Keep getting refreshed. If you've never prayed in the Spirit, I'm going to say this to you. Receive it. It's within you. It's already there. Just allow it to flow out. Just find. Sometimes God will use an event that will cause you to pray in the Spirit. I would rather just say, God, I want to do it now. But I'm going to just pray over you. And I'm going to ask God that he would just touch your lives in a bigger and a better way. Father, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for what you're doing today. I thank you for all those that are out there, Father God, that have never prayed in the Spirit, have never allowed you to take over to pray. Father, I ask you that those that have never, that you would begin to open those things up. Father, we need this more today than we've ever needed it in life. Father, we thank you for praying in the Holy Ghost. We thank you for it. We thank you for the gift that your Son sent to us and said, and where he told us, wait for the gift. Wait for the promise that my Father promised. Father, I speak over these that are here and over those that are out there. Receive those things that God is saying. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for allowing me to speak to you this morning. Amen. Praise God.